That's disgusting.
Revenge of the Sith open today. Notes from the Underground, May 19th. That's so much better right there.
The quiet part?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was difficult because I'd heard that, a while.
That got into like some Darth Vader anger.
Yeah, that was a little thing, Darth Vader anger. He's saying that because I actually got to go on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock
You're a little. You're jumping in. I'm like jumping in. You're feeding back a little bit. Yeah. All right.
I got to go at 10 o'clock. Too. Do we have to redo that whole bar?
No.
Okay. Well, I got back. Got to go at 10 o'clock this Wednesday morning to go see Revenge of the Sith because I work at a.
Can you hear the neener in his voice? Neener. I got to go a day before the movie comes out and see Revenge of the Sith.
I'm a fat nerd.
I've been waiting for this day since I was 6 years old.
Yeah, pretty much. What?
I'm sorry. I won't fuck with you. All right. I want you to tell everyone how good or bad it was. You know, what was it? I mean,
it is by far the best of the prequels. That's without a doubt. It's by far the best of the prequels. Is it good? That's a very different subject.
I think it's weird, you know, because like our generation grew up with the originals. I saw Return of the Jedi in the theaters. I think I might have even seen Empire Strikes Back in theaters. And so we have this old school kind of standard that the new set is just so different. It's so
well. I mean, George Lucas wrote everything. Didn't have anyone helping him with dialogue. There's a lot of things, like the conventions he used in Phantom Menace. He thought it was going to be a kid's film. People just were up in arms about it. I mean, in my opinion, some of the Phantom Menace stuff is like really racist, you know,
totally,
you know, I don't know why, how many Uncle Toms we need and how, you know, it's like Jar Jar Binks is like the token black guy. Watto or whatever the flying creature is, he's like the Arab or, I mean, it's just rude. Like the first scene, there's those guys who are, sound like Japanese.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I assure you, the blockade is perfectly legal.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's just, and that was painful.
Yeah.
That was rough. But this next one, I mean, it's much better. Much better. Some of the effects, I will say, go out and see it. Without a doubt, see it on the big screen. Totally worth it. See it on the big screen. You know, if someone asked me what I gave it on a 1 to 10, right now, with having seen the other prequels, I would give it a 7, maybe a 7.5. I enjoyed a lot of it. The parts that stunk, I mean, some of the visual effects, they got lazy in some places, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could have been a whole different beast. The story is always an issue in these. The dialogue was clunky at times, too. And then there's plot lines, like there's dangling plot lines all over the place. You just, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm jealous. I'm excited to find out what Lucas has in store for all of us.
It's pretty. It's pretty. Without a doubt, it's pretty.
That's cool.
Yes.
So we got some more angry music, don't we?
Yeah. Okay. So Mitch usually has the soft core show, and so I brought in the hardcore. Actually, most of this is punk. I think that was what we just heard was Maximilian Colby. They're from Virginia. That was Cyflavor. It's off their discography album from 2002. They're a great band. They have like a very slinty sound, very kind of San Diego early 90s sound. They've been putting out records forever. I think their first one came out in like 94. Just a good band. I like them.
It had a nice kind of ramp up. It started out with kind of a sort of a pinback-ish type groove, and then, you know, knocks you on your ass.
Yeah, which is kind of the way, like, they're all really good musicians, and that's the way, like, a lot of 90s punk, especially San Diego-styled punk from, we'll hear some more, actually, there's another band coming up that we'll listen to in a little bit. Actually, we listen to it next.
Whatever you want. We could.
Okay, then put the Drive Like Jehu on next, because they're a San Diego band. A lot of those guys moved on to, like, Rocket from the Crypt, and then they moved on to Hot Snakes, and so a lot of these guys are like super talented musicians who just played kind of angry music, you know, and they'll do this for 42 minutes and love it. See? But listen, there it goes. More, give me more. Give him more.
He's flicking the bean, isn't he? He's flicking the bean.
Oh, no. Mitch went there. Okay. That's how we're going to play. That's fine.
right, that was Drive Like Jehu. The song was called Caress.
Fuck yeah!
Like I said before the song, I think this might be a slight departure from Mitch's normal shows. But that's the influence I bring. You know,
I dig it, dude. You always brought, like showed me the shit. Like, you were the first one to put Sparta on my desk, and I still listen to that Wiretap Scar CD all the time. I'm just fucking around.
No, I just want to make sure the listeners out there that you don't even know who I am.
Yeah,
like, you haven't said who I am.
What kind of a host am I?
You're awful.
I'm a dick.
Yeah,
this is my old high school buddy, Zachary J. Crazy Man. Row.
Yeah, back from up north. We lived together last year, and then now we live with our ladies. We're getting old. Like, both of us are getting fat and growing hair in places you don't want to grow hair.
You're not getting fat. No, I'm getting fat.
Okay, yeah, it's probably true. I weigh like 105.
Yeah.
I'm heroin chic, and it's not even by choice. Nor do I get to get high.
And what's with
high.
The Kansas City hat? Anyways, what?
didn't hear.
Now you're a Royals fan? You go to one fucking Royals game and you're...
So we all went to a big wedding for another high school buddy of ours, junior high, et cetera, like back in the day, hometown friend, the other Zach. And he gets married, which it was freezing at his ceremony, but it was a great time. We had a blast. It was great to see him off. And then we went to a Royals game the next day.
Right. I knew you guys were going to do
that.
Dude,
that Royals game was the fucking weirdest game I'd ever seen in my life.
What's the stadium like? Aren't there two stadiums right next to each other? Like, isn't the baseball and football?
Yeah, really close.
Right.
But some guy, I don't even know any of these kids' names. Like, I knew two of them because they played for the River Cats in Sacramento. But this one guy hits a fly ball deep in the center. Center fielder goes back, makes the catch, pops the wall as hard as he can, drops the ball. The dude is still running as hard as he can around the edges, around the bases, before the right fielder comes in, picks up the ball, and throws it home, and he scores an inside-the-park home run. So that's 1-0 to tie the game.
Wait, who are they playing?
It was the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, two of the most quality teams you could get.
Wow.
And so then you got... I think it was the Royals balked in a run from third. A balk is like a fake pitch, you know?
Uh-huh.
So if you fake pitch, everyone advances, no matter who's behind you, everyone advances a base, depending, you know, wherever you are. So the guy's on third, walked home. Yeah. That tied the game.
That's killer.
It was just some nuts. Yeah, it was pretty terrible, but it was so good that
Welcome
I had to buy a hat.
Leagues.
Yeah. I had to rock the Kansas City hat. I had a good time. I mean, this was like...
When the Giants come to town, we got to go big.
Oh, yeah. I think it's required this year.
Since Zach and I are both from the Northern California, we're like lone Giants fans in this sea of Dodgers and Angels junkies.
And it's awful, too, because both teams are actually okay this year. And the Giants just pretty much suck repeatedly, terribly. I mean, we got smoked by Colorado 9-4. Yeah.
Dude, I should have you come in and do like sports like every week, and
that'd be fine.
And my friend Bobby, who was here last week, I'm sure most of you guys enjoyed having him. He's I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I'm starting to get a crew here. You're like my third guest, and
who was your first guest?
Chris Tarantino.
Yeah. You had him come by? Isn't
he's really knowledgeable about music. He knows a lot.
Does he?
He knows a lot of, like, sort of more, like, rocking, dance, Franz Ferdinand type stuff.
Pop.
I guess, but but it's not... But doesn't pop have to be popular?
Well, Franz Ferdinand's pretty popular,
right,
man.
But
just
I'm
not,
saying,
maybe
like
not in America.
Franz Ferdinand, but nobody knows, you know, who somebody
is. Yeah, but it's all that British pop that's coming. It's still Brit pop. I mean, even if they're not huge, it's still Brit pop.
It's Brit pop, even if there's only like four fans. If you have four fans, does that mean you're Brit popular? Because it's like four fans is really not that much.
There's no response to that.
Okay. He's ignoring me.
No.
Fantastic.
I'm not. Have you heard of the... I was talking about this before. The Baby Shambles.
No.
Tell me. If people... If you like the Libertines or any... There's this London scene that's happening lately. Check it out. The Baby Shambles. There's a bunch of other bands that are out there right now, and they're pretty good.
Oh, I don't know why I thought about this, but when you said the Libertines, I was thinking about the Ravenettes. I don't know why I've thought about
no,
that.
No, but yeah.
Maybe it's the. Maybe it's because there's a the thing.
Because there's a teen the and an et.
Yeah.
It's
teen et.
The Clash.
Et. Net. Anyways, okay, I'm sorry, I totally interrupted.
No, it's good though.
The Ravenettes are playing at Silver Lake Lounge in like a week with Autolux.
Ooh, I actually would love to see. I have not seen Autolux yet. Now, Autolux, if you guys don't know, they're from LA, signed to Red Ink, which is the Coen Brothers label that they put together. Kind of like Printing Gold, in my opinion. Those guys just have a pulse on talent and what's going, you know, the fingers on the pulse of talent and what's going on in pretty much any industry. I've really enjoyed their, you know, their movies. Autolux was the first band they signed.
Wow, that's cool, man. The Coen Brothers are the dope shit.
I love them.
We're in a tight spot. Okay, wait. We have some more music, don't we, Zach?
Yeah. I think we're going to play the X Models next. Okay. X Models. The song is Girlfriend is Worse Off. They're a Brooklyn-based band. This came out in 2001. They got an awesome drummer. This guy, Jacob Fiedler, he rocks. He kills it. I was a drummer, so every time I hear a good drummer, it just kind of makes me happy. But, you know, they're pretty amazing. Take a listen. I have to say I apologize. It seems like every song I picked for this particular one has an extremely dissonant intro. It just kind of goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Which is really quite fitting because I didn't even give you a fucking intro as a guest on my show.
Well, I thought you were going to say about the fact that I just go on and on.
Oh, you're doing just fine.
So, either way, that was Klickitat Ikatoa, Ikatoi. They are from San Diego. Their drummer, Mario, I don't even know how to say his last name, Rubalcaba, played in Thingy, and then he played in Black Heart Procession, and then I'm pretty sure he just joined Hot Snakes recently.
The Thingy is that other Rob Crow band, right?
Right.
The guy from Pinback.
Right. The guitarist, Scott something, I can't remember his name, is he used to play in Heroin. That was called Palladian Dance, and it's off River of Souls, which came out in like 98, maybe 97. I don't know. I can't remember. But they're crazy good. As you can tell, I like guys that have chops, but also kind of, I don't know.
Syncopated. You like kind of not just a straight 4-4.
Right. But not only that, like someone that puts a little of their nuts on the table and just kind of plays hard, you know, plays their heart out. I dig that. I have a lot of respect for that.
When I saw the I saw Block Party play at Coachella, that drummer's pretty good for playing, you know, kind of standard punk
rock.
Yeah,
but beats. He doesn't play it standard.
He throws.
Yeah, it's because he's a fucking hardcore drummer.
Oh, right.
I would put money on it, $1 million. That kid was an ex-hardcore drummer who...
No, I think I read that somewhere, that he used to be in some like a serious hard rock band, like...
Yeah, I mean, because it's the way he plays. He plays like, and he's just like, uh-oh, sorry. He's just like, technical problems. Oh.
I think we're okay.
Oh. There was, I almost broke everything.
Oh.
Oh.
Hey, wait, so we got some new releases to talk about. We didn't so much talk about what came out. I guess we could talk about what came out last week.
Well, I mean, do want to talk about one thing. I know that a lot of people may not be down for this band, but I love Sleater-Kinney, and Sleater-Kinney's coming out, I think, on the 24th. Go down to the 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go check out their new one. It's called The Woods.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's on Sub Pop.
Right? Yeah, it's called The Woods. Check it out. Give them love, because they deserve it.
And then there's...
Those girls have been around forever. Forever, and they just tour and have fun and do what this is what they love. Support them, make them money, they deserve it.
And then they went, what else? There's At the Drive-In, which at first I thought was a new CD, but then
no.
I was like,
yeah,
they don't like each other. That goes back to what we talked about. I was talking about Sparta earlier on, and that those guys used to be,
yeah, three of the guys in Sparta and Cedric and Omar from Mars Volta. Used to be in At the Drive-In. And then Jim, the lead singer of Sparta, his cousin died from drug overdose. But he was really fucking close to Cedric and Omar. So threw them all in a tizzy. And Cedric and Omar realized they didn't want to be in the band anymore, so they quit. And they created Mars Volta. And then Jim and the other guys created Sparta. And to be honest, I think both of them had great freshman releases and not very great sophomore releases, and that's not abnormal.
Yeah. You know, I bought the new Mars Volta, but I haven't listened to it yet. What an idiot. I hate myself.
Well, you should have just listened to my copy, because it's a, I don't know, for me, I love the, they have skills galore, but they definitely, it's tough to, it's not a very accessible album. It's tough to get into it. It took me a bit. Some people love it, though. I won't, you know. If you liked them the first time around, you'll probably love it.
There's also what's coming out next week, this Motown remix. I don't know if you've heard anything about it.
No, you said something about this earlier, and I was kind of ignored you.
This shit is so fucking hot. It's like they took the Jackson 5 and remixed it with a hip-hop beat and dropped all that fucking bullshit studio work that was originally in there. So it's just like fucking... you know, like they have the Stevie Wonder and Jackson 5 and...
So they drop that all, like the back Marvin Gaye vocals and all that stuff? And
it's just depends on the song. Right. Some songs are totally, you know, some songs are totally raw, completely redone. Some of them pretty much sound exactly the same, but they just have, they just line it up with a straight beat so that people could mix to it more easily.
Right, right.
So I'm sure that you'll be hearing some DJs mixing some old school Motown because they're actually rolling out. Like four of them. I don't know.
Oh, so this is like the beginning. This of like is like a
one of a series of Motown remixes. Each one, some of them more hardcore. Like some, one of them's more clubby. One of them's more hip hop. This one's just sort of the straight remix.
All right. And clubby and hip hop meaning like the kind of beats they're putting behind it.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. All right. So I don't know if you're that, into, if you're into that old some of that old school shit.
Well, like I was thinking about just. When I was brainstorming about what I wanted to bring for music, I love soul. I have a thing for soul. I've always loved soul. And my girlfriend reintroduced me to Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Man, is that dude smoking.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Yeah.
I mean.
They weren't thinking about the music. They were just doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Back then it was.
They just, they just killed it. Just because they wanted to. It
seems like everyone's thinking too hard about what they're trying to create.
Oh, shit. People, stop being cerebral. You know, it's okay to do some drugs. I'm kidding.
Speaking of some old music, didn't you have like a cover? Like a
Zeppelin
cover?
Yeah, well, okay. So there's this band from Boston, and they're called Cavin. And I used to listen to them because I do have some roots in hardcore, and they had like a Neurosis-y feel, and... You know,
Neurosis-y?
Yeah, Neurosis-y. They sounded like Neurosis, damn it.
Is that like having many neuroses?
It's, yeah.
Several?
It's being very neurosy. Oh, man. Oh, I'm an editor, people. Yeah, right. I'm in
control. Fix it! Yeah. You can't!
This is the worst. I'm in control of your literary futures. No, I do comics. They like turned into, I don't even know, Stephen Brodsky wasn't their first singer either, but like turned into like this emo band. And I wanted to play them because I've loved them and I don't know what happened to them. So if anyone knows what happened to them, I don't know if you can write on, can you write under your blog or anything?
Yeah, totally.
Write on Mitch's blog
if
if you know anything about what happened to Cavin, because like 2 years ago they came out at Antenna, which was their major record release.
Well, you got this off their website, right?
Right. So there must and be then somebody they came out bootleg.
But this about something.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess so. But it's just been like years, and I was just wondering where they're at. I loved them, but this is a version of Dazed and Confused, the Led Zeppelin song that they put together, and put on the single Bootleg. Now, here you go.
Yes. gotta love you, baby, but you just push me away. Sweet little baby, I don't know where you've been. Well, I'm trying to love you, baby. Here I come again.
So, Caven, Stephen Brodsky, Dazed and Confused. I don't think I actually really liked the cover. I thought it was pretty good.
It's funny because last week it was just last week when Bobby and I were talking about Led Zeppelin not being the band of choice when you're wanting to introduce someone to new music. And But it's very funny that you know we're talking about a new band but they're playing a Led Zeppelin tune. It's very ironic. I love that shit.
Good. So. I thought it was I thought it was fitting. At least it would be somewhat more accessible than the rest of my playlist.
Well, that happens to be one of my favorite Zeppelin tunes, too.
Yeah, it's...
Have you heard the DVD? The Zeppelin DVD that came out, like, 2 years ago? It's, they fucking blow the shit. I mean, you see this live band in their heyday.
Completely
controlling the stadium and their instruments. Like, I've never seen anything like that, like, in my lifetime. Like,
and now
some good music, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before.
I had this conversation a while back with someone else, and we were talking about why we thought that was. And partially my opinion is because so many people lived in places where there was no music. Where there was no music. I'm getting the international sign for move closer to the mic.
Sorry.
I just feel like I keep topping out.
All right. You're fine.
But like, I think there were so many people back then who had no access.
Oh, you mean because the record labels had such a stranglehold on that?
Because this music hadn't existed for so long, and then all of a sudden these musics were starting to show up and then doing tours. Even then, I mean, how many bands did you have in your little town?
Yeah.
You know, you drove to Chicago to see this one band. I don't know. I just wonder how much of the audience has changed as well as, like, those who perform now. Like, we expect stadium tours.
Right.
You know, the spectacle of what was 70s, like, rock was, it just, it's not the same. And we're also not on as many drugs. At least I'm not, usually. I mean, you know. Drugs were kind of...
Yeah, but now they have these huge festivals. I mean, Woodstock was, like, back then, just sort of like a, you know, whoa. And now it's like, there's like 10 Woodstocks a summer.
Yeah. And that's weird.
That's really weird.
It's really weird. You know?
Everyone's, I guess. Like, I don't know. I'm used to it.
Yeah, but I mean, we're used to it. But everyone's trying to recreate that Woodstock feel. Everyone's trying to get back to the 70s and have that, what that thing was. And I always just kind of wondered what it was that made the music so different then. Because it was. It's very different music. A lot of the stuff that came out of that era was, like, was deep. 60s, 70s, you know, 69.
Cool.
Am I nerding out way too hard?
No, absolutely not. No nerding. There will be no nerding in Notes from the Underground.
Do you like how every
time... In a world where nerdy is as nerdy can be.
Do you like when he tries to sound sexy, he drops his voice real low?
Notes from the Underground.
Yeah.
I'm Mitch McAllister.
You got to get that, like, that weird throat roll when your voice is that low. So, Daedalus, these guys make sick beats. This is the bus driver. He raps over these. I thought I'd end it on a totally different note than I played the entire time. If you don't like Daedalus or you don't like Prefuse 73... You should go check them out. Peep this new song.
Without trying, when I bend the complimentary outline, I without trying, when I. lose physical fit. Praying with the peace by indigo crypt. I like to die with my head on the bosom in soap. Shred my thought for what like I was on a wooden pulp. Sheets all I can do is stand there, sitting her strands of hair. Could have been my bolt in the keep. She was like, we're not the same wavelength. And I was like, oh, you're one of those brain Madonnas. Reading mail, the drama from her tell the prompt. She's like, come now, I know you. Looking for rats who fornicate. And every point on the map on your tour date. Then to put them in your raps and record a tape. That day bears a partial truth, but I'm an awful sleuth and I care to say. The main carpet looked like a golf ball in the fairway. And I've been captivated by the scent of your hairspray. But I am not, I repeat, I am not him. I rinse around her. She won't register at the checkout counter. I stick my neck out, offer her my wet mouth, but I flounder. Her beauty is its own color. Her curves fulfill its every promise. I'm without shrine when light bends to compliment her outline. I'm without shrine when light bends.
Thanks for having us in your iPod this week. Mitch McAllister with Zach Rau.
Have a good night, guys.
See you next week.
Peace. Air Greece. Don't forget the Middle East.
And Darfur.
And we're out.